This is the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
It is the Almost Famous Podcast with the incredible, the magical. I'm not going to say the beautiful because last week I got yelled at for that. But the courageous, Ashley Iaconetti. Ashley, what's up?
Not much, but I just wanted to say that I am sharing the mic right now with the talented, brilliant, incredible, amazing, show-stopping Ben Higgin.
Oh, geez. Well, we started this podcast today with something that you're not going to hear. I logged in to Zoom and I just hear somebody absolutely destroying things. I mean, it was unlike anything I've heard in a while. Ashley, you've switched from other things to now saying that you have some good nasal drip.
Oh, I've had post nasal drip since the beginning of the pregnancy. One of the first symptoms I've had. It's actually very common. It's like 30% of women experience like really bad congestion post nasal drip. And oh my God, the mucus production is out of this world and so disgusting. But yeah, we have a new assistant here on the podcast as well. And she heard in just 5 minutes about how my gas situation was, how my mucus situation was, and how my nipples are doing.
Yeah. You know, that's when you know we've been doing this a while, is when we can talk about nipples and it really doesn't faze anybody. In fact, the whole team just sits there until you and I are done and says, oh, cool. Yep. Well, can we get started? Ashley, you're currently then, as we give our weekly summary of how you're holding up, you're experiencing pretty much every, negative symptom or every like major symptom of being pregnant? Like you're really going through it.
Pretty much. Yeah. I'm going to be 17 weeks on Wednesday. And yeah, the throwing up has eased. I still threw up twice in the past 12 hours. But with Zofran, I'm able to live a relatively functional life. I mean, I still prefer to spend most of my day on the couch, but you know. But the only very popular side effect that I'm not having is headaches, which praise be for that.
Yeah.
Because you can't take Advil when you're pregnant. You can only take Tylenol. And I always find that Tylenol doesn't really work the best for me. It's not a guaranteed fix. What about for you?
Yeah. Tylenol, I would say Advil is my go-to. Yeah. Right now with my knee, I had to stop taking Advil.
Because the surgery coming too.
Yeah, with my surgery coming up and like my history with like strong painkillers is not a good one. And so I'm like trying to navigate all of this. So like, yeah, there's a couple things I've done, natural support, but it doesn't really help that much. Now, Ashley, I learned some about this week about pregnancy, I think. Mm-hmm. Tell me if I'm crazy. My mom and Jessica were talking to me and it was on the day that you announced the sex of your child. By the way, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
What a big deal. You're gonna have a boy, right?
Yep, I'm gonna have a boy.
They were shocked.
Everybody was shocked.
Okay. I learned that like usually the roughest pregnancies are those with girls.
Yes. So there's apparently even a little statistical, like there's actually like some scientific evidence as to why that is. You produce more pregnancy hormone when you have a girl. So typically it's like 20% more pregnancy hormone. I might just be pulling that number out of my butt, but that means. And the pregnancy hormone is what causes the nausea. So it's not a totally ridiculous thought to think that like, if you're really nauseous, you're having a girl, but then you can be so nauseous and have boys too. Like Jade said that she was way sicker with both boys and she was with Emmy. So it's really nobody knows, but yes, everyone was convinced. Like I would get declarative statements on my Instagram from followers who were like, you're having a girl, period. Like as if they knew for a fact. And they're like, you're having this because you're having a girl. I'm like, this is really funny to read when I actually know it's just a boy. Because I think we knew for like almost 3 weeks before we announced that.
Okay. Wow. Well, Ashley, we're going to keep updated with your life. You're a trooper.
Keep updated with your life too. You're having surgery next week. So like, you're going to be taking a week off from the pod.
Yeah.
And like, are you worried, scared? This all happened because you guys, this was covered on one of our bonus podcast episodes with Gap Home. He was playing basketball. He tore his ACL and his MCL, just playing a pickup game of basketball. Now he has to go into like, you know, pretty major surgery. And that's very sad. Are you like a little worried? Have you, you've had major surgery before, right?
This is my third knee surgery. You know, I'm more nervous this time than I was when I was younger, to be honest. Like I'm more anxious about it. And I know I'm going to be nervous day of, where I used to just kind of, I was talking to one of my buddies who plays for the Cleveland Browns, and he tore his ACL a few years ago. And I was like, you know, I think the difference is I used to like do it and try to get back for sports. Now I'm doing it and trying to get back for my wedding. And I think that's like obviously more, even more important to me. And I am nervous that, you know, 8 weeks after surgery, I'll be getting married and what kind of state will I be in? I also like, I don't know how you feel about this or how our listeners feel, but I think there's a little bit more of anxiety inside of me because like of Jess. Like I have somebody there now that is going to have to like kind of take care of me. My mom's going to come out for a bit, but going to have to take care of me. And I know that puts a lot of weight on her with her, you know, skincare company that's going bonkers. And then I'm going to miss our cake test tasting. Aww. I'm going to miss our pre-wedding photo shoot. That was like a big deal. So like there's things now I have to miss, and that makes me sad. But overall, I am very confident and very excited to get it fixed so that I can get back. I'm going to take some time off. So everybody out there, I'll be resting up. I'll probably try to document it as well as I ever document anything, which is like one or two stories and maybe a picture if possible. But I'll try to document it just so you know what the updates are in life. And I know Ashley will carry this thing well. Well, Ashley, we have a big podcast in front of us. We have Jesse Palmer coming on to talk about The Ultimate Surfer and also Bachelor in Paradise, because he's a big fan of Bachelor in Paradise. Also, we're going to break down this week's episode of Bachelor in Paradise, which is a big one, a lot going on. So let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to bring on Jesse Palmer, the host of The Ultimate Surfer. One of the busiest men in entertainment, he's showing up everywhere, but he has a new show out right now that is getting people talking. Jesse Palmer joins the Almost Famous podcast right now, a former Bachelor, but it's not something we like to talk about too much because he's done far greater things since then. Thanks for coming on.
Dude, thanks so much for having me. Great to be with you guys.
I have a funny story. So do you remember how I ran into you and I met you for the first time? It was
at Elefante.
Yes. So Jared and I went over and we said hi, and my mom, you weren't with a girl and we weren't sure, like, we didn't know that you're engaged, right? You're engaged now.
Yes.
Well, my mom tried to convince my sister to go over and like ask you out for the longest time, or like to flirt with you. And, then we found out you had a fiance, but like,
your sister, she's probably way out of my league anyway. So stop. I think everybody got saved. Everybody got saved through that. But I love your mom after hearing that story.
Oh my gosh. My mom is such like a yenta. My sister is now also engaged. So
great. So it worked out for everybody. Yeah. See, at the end of the day, That was awesome running into you and Jared though. There, that was great.
It was very nice seeing you. You are truly like an icon, role model for anybody who like wants to go on and do really like any, like build any sort of career after The Bachelor. You have done amazing. Like, here's your little roster right now. After The Bachelor, you did Holiday Baking Championship with the Food Network. You've done Good Morning America. You've been a special contributor there. You've done the Daily Mail TV show. And now you're the host of The Ultimate Surfer, which is on Monday and Tuesday. It's following The Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise on ABC. Dude, like, you just keep killing it.
Jack of all trades, the master of none. I've been really, really lucky. You know, it's funny. I think back playing football when I got drafted by the New York Giants, I think that was one of the best things that ever happened in my life. That was totally out of... it was totally something that I couldn't control. But I think coming to New York City in a media market, a place that kind of allowed me to tap into a lot of different passions I had just outside of football, I think for me, it was just a tremendous opportunity. I was super lucky. And yeah, to use like a bad like surfing analogy, I'm just like riding the wave right now. I'm just like kind of like hanging 10 on all this. But it's been, I've been really, really fortunate. It's been a lot of fun.
And not to like make your ego any bigger, but like I'm a Giants fan. And I remember I was like, I was young when you were drafted. I was like, what year was it?
Oh, it was 2001. Ashley, I got to say, just, I want to stop this right now and tell you that I was always a huge fan of yours, but after your mom's story and now finding out that you were a Giants fan, I'm even a bigger Ashley I fan.
Oh, thank you.
Which I didn't think was possible coming into this, because I was on Instagram. I'm like, I know you guys like announced that you guys are having a kid and it's a boy and you're not sure what the name's going to be. And I saw on IG that you're like,
we know what the name
is. Oh, you do? Okay, yeah. But it's not going to be Tom or Brady. No. You know that. So I'm thinking like, of course, they're Pats fans.
No,
of course they are.
I'm a Giants fan who went to the second Super Bowl, the second Giants-Patriots Super Bowl. And nice. And I ended up marrying a hardcore Patriots fan.
Pats fan.
And it,
I know.
They honestly are a team that's they're easy to root for. And especially since like as a Giants fan, it's like, well, to me... it makes sense that I can root for you guys, but like a Pats fan can't root for the Giants. It's just because we are your kryptonite. But anyway, I can go blah, 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 blah. But what I was going to say was, I remember I was 13 when you were drafted and I was like, who's the cute quarterback that we got? Maybe I'm going to get into football now.
Yeah. Great lighting and makeup on those team photos back in the Giants in 01. I have like the high tight fade. I know that was totally not your type. I know.
Oh, that was every girl's type.
Yeah, anyway, okay. Meathead, square jaw, football, high fade.
Ben, do you have a serious question for Jimmy?
I do. Yeah. Jesse, we're here to talk about the Ultimate Surfer. I want to know, I'm really interested, two things. One, can you explain the show to the listeners? Really sell it. And then the second is, why were you chosen? Are you a surfer? Why did you say yes to it? Just kind of give the background.
Ben, two great serious questions.
Yeah.
To answer the first one, the Ultimate Surfer is kind of like a surf competition meets Big Brother meets The Bachelor in Paradise a little bit. It's got a little bit of something for everybody. When the show started, we took 14 of the best surfers in America, 7 men, 7 women, bring them together, and they're competing at Kelly Slater's Surf Ranch in Lemoore, California, which if you've never seen it, it's like a Disneyland for adults. It's this wave pool that's essentially 7 football fields long. It makes the perfect wave. The wave can run for like 50 seconds. It's just phenomenal. And essentially, they're all surfing and competing for $100,000 and a chance to get on the World Surf League Championship Tour, which is like the NFL of pro surfing. It's like the very, very pinnacle, which is really, really hard to get onto. There's a lot of drama on the show because a lot of these surfers know each other coming in. So there's sort of these pre-existing rivalries or these pre-existing alliances that sort of already exist when they get there. But you're putting 14 really good looking people together in one space for a period of time. So ultimately anything can happen. So really this show has a little bit of everything. It's got phenomenal surfing. It's shot beautifully, but then it has a lot of the drama and there's strategy involved, like you see on some of these other shows. When I played football, I was always like a big surfing fan from a distance. And a guy that I really looked up to and admired was Kelly Slater. And obviously for people that know, he's an 11-time world champion in surfing, a guy that's really sort of synonymous with the sport. And he's really kind of transcended the sport as well. And when I found out that he was going to be on the show and it was a competition-based show happening at the Surf Ranch, Ben, for me, I knew at that point that that was definitely a project that I wanted to get involved in.
That's I watched the episode. I think it was last week. It is interesting to see, all these really good looking people competing over something of this, and then like the alliances, the kind of the friendships that are built. Now you mentioned something. So these are incredible surfers, but they're still like on the amateur level. So like this is a big break for them in a lot of ways to get to win this show and to have their. I think golf, but like to get their tour card, like to be involved on the tour. As a host, what was the pressure like in the house? Like, did these people take it really serious from the very beginning?
Yeah, it's a great question, Ben. I think you hit it on the head. That's a really good analogy, getting your tour card in golf. Getting on the championship tour, the CT, is virtually impossible. And we have incredible surfers, as you mentioned, that are sort of, they're all amazing, but they all have different levels of surfing, be it in the junior ranks. They've been professional, but not on CT. We actually have two surfers on the show even right now. We're at the final 10, Zeke Lau and Bruna Zahn, who have actually already competed on the CT. They then were off and now they're trying to get back on. So to answer your question, there is tremendous pressure. I think that's why you see so much of the drama, because I think of what's on the line. These are diehard surfers that understand that this really is like a do or die last chance to make it type situation for them. Mm-hmm. And they just want this so bad. It's almost like when I was there hosting it, you know, I'd mentioned, hey, you guys might win $100,000. And they're kind of like, yeah. Yeah. Six figures, like $100,000, whatever. Like they want the tour card. Like that is what is so important to them. So for me, the pressure and the competition in the water was obviously something that was really huge. I think the one thing I really took away from it was the mental toughness and the emotional toughness of a lot of these athletes, because we just throw so much stuff at them, and curveballs and twists and things they're really never anticipating or never ready for. And then when the lights come on and they have to do their best and they have to perform, time and time again, they were able to do that. That's probably to me what was most impressive.
So speaking of curveballs and twists, does your experience having like been a cast member on a reality show lend to you hosting in a different angle?
Yeah, great question. You know, it's funny, like I sort of, as the host of the show at times, it's like former pro football player and their athletes, and I'm trying to kind of guide them and give them some motivation and cheerlead for them because they are athletes and they are trying to get on the pro tour of a professional sport. But at the same time, you're right, with reality TV as a background as well, for them, you know, this was all new. It's like all of us that get on reality TV, the first time you see all the cameras, you're not really sure what's going on. How vulnerable are you comfortable being? How much of yourself are you willing to share? How early and to who? I think all of that was sort of a challenge for them as well. So like hosting the show, you wear a couple of different hats, I would say. Ultimately for me, like I want them all to win, and I'm in trying to encourage them. And I think it wasn't necessarily always like, hey, now's the competition part. Let's go. You can do this, tap in. It's sort of like, hey, when you're not in the water and there's cameras around, you know, how you can be yourself, feel confident, be vulnerable, but that's at the same time, be true to yourself and really kind of let yourself out and let these people in that are watching at home.
The interesting thing to me too, you got to explain it to me. There's a kind of a crossover that I'm feeling with the Bachelor franchise and, different production company, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why the crossover? Because there's a couple people, and if you don't mind mentioning, because I don't know them off the top of my head, from the show, you know, from the Bachelor franchise that appear on the show, but like, why the crossover?
Well, I think the timing of the episode, so we come on air right after Bachelor in Paradise. So I think this sort of keeps a little bit of a continuity from a theme standpoint. To your point, there are people from Bachelor that certainly Bachelor Nation will recognize. Hannah Ann from Peter's season, Mike Johnson from Hannah Brown's season. They're both on the show as well, and they're sort of setting up some of the challenges. People that have seen the show the last 2 weeks know that obviously there's challenges in the pool, and there's a lot of kind of fun challenges outside of the pool as well, where there's teamwork involved or whatever that helps give them advantages later once they get back on the wave. So we have people from Bachelor Nation that have been on The Bachelor and Bachelorette in the show as well. So I think they were just trying to keep some form of continuity on Mondays and Tuesdays coming on after The Bachelor in Paradise, as we do.
Okay, makes sense.
So you could have 3 straight hours of reality TV and have similar characters. Okay, so did you get inspired to do any surfing of your own before or after? Have you ever surfed before?
So I'm from Ottawa, Canada, which, as we all know, is like the mecca of pro surfing. All the great surfers in the world come from Ottawa, Canada. I did zero surfing growing up as a kid. I did a lot of snow surfing. I think they call that snowboarding. Yeah. And I've always wanted, you know, I've tried it. It's so hard. You know when people are really good at their job, and then you watch them do it and you're like, oh, I could totally do that. It's like really good. It's like you both on this podcast, so good at hosting it. You probably make a lot of people at home feel like I could probably host a podcast tomorrow, no problem. And then when they start to do it, they realize how hard it is. That's what pro surfers do to people like me. I'm terrible at surfing, and I wasn't allowed to do a lot of surfing on the show because they were afraid of me getting hurt. And I had to sign this contract that said I wasn't allowed to go into water and actually get on a board. I may have like snuck in once or twice and tried, but like, dude, I'm terrible. And as a former pro athlete, like you think like, well, I played pro football. I have coordination. Yeah. I know that. I absolutely have to be able to figure this out. It is a different level. Anyone in the world that's ever tried surfing knows exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter how much snowboarding you've done, what your athletic background is. It is a difficult, difficult thing to pick up.
Hey, Ben, ABC wasn't too concerned about how we were going to fare. And we did things that we had never done before on Winter Games.
No, definitely. I'm just thinking like 6'4", pretty gangly. Balance has never been my thing on a surfboard. That would be television. That's stuff I know my grandma would watch.
I think we have a new show. It's like Bachelor Nation Surfing. You should just have like a whole ultimate surfer with just Bachelor. That'd be phenomenal.
Well, that kind of leads to my next question then. Does anybody from Ultimate Surfer, do you feel like they could have been a good participant in Bachelor in Paradise? Like, is there any personalities there like that they would thrive?
Oh yeah. I think so. Like Tia Blanco is one. Koa Smith is like my favorite. Like that dude has so much personality. He's tremendous. And he was so comfortable in front of the cameras. He's just so comfortable being himself. I think those two, Bachelor in Paradise, I think would have ended up being really good contestants. Are we going to get a chance to talk Bachelor in Paradise?
Well, I was just going to say, have you been keeping up with the show?
Yes, I have. I want to get into this with you both.
Oh,
actually.
My goodness. Well, we would love that. Okay. So yeah. Did you watch this episode?
Oh yeah.
Did you watch our screener that we sent you?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. So let's talk in general of the season. Sorry. You're going to have to wait till tonight, Jesse, to watch the Monday episode.
Guys, like, I was going to like try to get out like my iPad or something to see if I could sneak preview this. No,
he missed out. To watch Bachelor in Paradise without commercials is a dream come true.
I know. It takes 2 hours and it cuts it down into, what would you say?
Like an hour and 20 and minutes. Yeah.
Hour and 15 minutes. Yeah, that'd be ideal. We just power through. So I knew that this season of Bachelor in Paradise was going to be tremendous just based on the people on the show. So when Carl or Noah or Queen Victoria, now Goddess Victoria, were going to be on, I just knew this was going to be outstanding. How interesting has it been, though? It's been funny for me to watch and just see like Brendan come in on day one. And I feel like when Brendan comes in, he's the hot commodity right away. All the women are talking about him. People want to make out. Like, that's the one that they have their eyes set on, right? Mm-hmm. Thomas rolls in last week. And I feel like he sort of took the one seed real quick and took Serena and like takes her on the date. They're riding jet skis or whatever that thing was. And they're making out in the water. And then poor grocery store Joe's like going to go home again. Like, we spend the first hour of every episode thinking grocery store Joe's going home. He's not sure what's happening. But then how about your boy Agent Riley rolling in?
Yeah.
And now like tell me like that dude, like if there was a definition of alpha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Agent Riley right now.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Riley right now is, and it's like he's not even like, not only is he like focusing his attention on the women, like he has zero time for the other dudes. Like he's not trying to make friends with anybody.
No.
He's like going to take your date. He's going to take her. He's going to eat like a cow's tongue. He's going to eat the entire, he's going to eat like raw tripe and like have zero problem with that. And then there's extracurricular activity after. Yeah. Like right now it is unbelievable. Like the show for me has been unbelievable. And it's been funny to sort of watch the dynamic through these last 2 weeks. How do you guys feel?
I don't disagree with you. I think the Riley thing has been the most interesting to me because he comes in, he says very few words. He really just like shows off those arms, which everybody watching is like, yeah, that guy's just absolutely magnificent. Yeah. And then he like semi just disappears. And it's like, but he's kind of that quiet, like that silent type that when he speaks, everybody's going to listen. And so he's going to have a lot of control in the house as things continue, especially as havoc and chaos are ensuing. But it's been a fun season for me. Now, I'll throw it to Ashley, give her thoughts. But after she's done, I would love to hear what you think of the guest hosting, too. You know some of these guys that are stepping in there and hosting. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you've hosted a few things for this company post your time on The Bachelor. So, Ashley, what do you think? And then, Jess, what do you think of the host?
Oh, I definitely find myself more invested in certain storylines than others. Definitely grocery store Joe and Serena, especially what you see their date tonight. It's so cute. And then I just love Taj Wan. Do you love Taj Wan?
Love Taj. Love Taj Wan and Trey. The fact that she's dating, like the fact that she dated Trey's uncle to me is still, it's like mind blowing to me.
You've got to go to Trey's Instagram where there's a picture of the uncle and you can see that the uncle's very nice looking.
Okay.
And then I just love Natasha too. And I feel like she's about to get screwed over. So I'm pretty invested in where her love life goes.
Yeah. I thought it was cool what Serena did too. Like she stayed true to grocery store Joe, you know? And like, yeah. And I wasn't like, and maybe you guys called that, like you saw it coming and she's like, I'm going to go in this state, but you know, don't worry. Wink, wink. It's all good. Like, I really thought that was done.
I was concerned. Yeah, I was. So what do you think of the guest host? I feel like you should have been on that list.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I personally have liked sort of the having kind of like technically two episodes each, and it's been kind of nice to kind of get a little bit of variety. I found in totally different styles where I think like you get like the comedian aspect with David Spade. I thought Lance was awesome. I thought he was tremendous too, and brought a lot. And of course, there's more coming down the pipeline, right? Is Little John going to host this?
Yes. Are you guys a little tired of the Bachelor pair? The Little John intros, Bachelor Paradise.
Yeah,
it's funny at first, but then I was like, okay, not every time.
It the first time it's like super exciting and makes you laugh. Yeah. After a couple times, like, I expect it. Now, Jesse, I do have a question. I'm gonna call you a very experienced. Like I said, you're one of the busiest people in entertainment. You're a professional host who has experience at all levels now, on morning television, talk show, reality television. I would say I am like a D-level host where I've stepped into television and hosted just a few things, which makes it still fun for me because there's always something new to experience. Now, we talked about it last week, but there is a moment with Lance Bass, who I think has done some good hosting in his career. I think he's been on a couple shows, but Riley is sitting there on his date and they just start making out. And Lance is standing there in the room with them. As a professional host, what would you have done in that scenario? Because Lance readily admitted, he goes, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to respond. I didn't know to leave, to videotape, to watch, to make a joke. Like, what would you have done?
Insta live.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it's like, actually, I think Lance, I mean, I don't know. That's obviously a tricky thing. I think, as you guys know, like from like hosting, you have to sort of let that moment play out. And it's like, you either like, you obviously can't interrupt it. You can't make a joke about it. You can't be like, guys, I got more questions on the card here. We got some more tripe we got to eat. Let's go. You have to sort of let that happen. That's great television, and everybody at home in Bachelor Nation, we're all watching that makeout session after they both just ate tongue and stuff. And we're like, wow, this is crazy. It's kind of gross, but it's awesome. There's a connection, whatever. And you have to let it happen. It was weird that it's like, it's awkward for him, I'm sure, because you're standing there and you're like looking around. Do you like moonwalk like off camera? I think he handled that probably as well as anybody could. I don't know. Was that something that you noticed right away when you saw it?
Yeah. I just think about like those scenarios in hosting Bachelor in Paradise has got to be pretty difficult, especially even the Bachelor in these moments, because you're trying to guide people to intimacy. And so once intimacy exists, you no longer feel like you need to be in the room yet.
Yeah.
He was. So I thought that was one of the most, like, there's always that moment during the Bachelor franchise where you feel like you can relate with either the people there or the host. And I feel like I could really relate with Lance, and probably a lot of the audience did.
Yeah. I would have like grabbed my phone and been like,
Yeah.
Check my how my investments doing? Do I get the 401 in? You just gotta like start finding things. Like, do the Patriots, like, they picked a starting quarterback in? Like, what's happening? Like, try to look busy while you're by yourself in a room with two people making out.
Yeah. Jesse, I have to be nosy for a second. I just noticed that you're wearing a wedding band.
I am.
What does that mean?
I'm married.
Oh, you are married.
Eah.
Oh, I thought that you said before that you were engaged.
Well, you were like, you're engaged. And I was like, yeah, I was engaged.
I was engaged. Yeah. Okay. So now you're married. So you guys got, did you guys get a, did you have like a pandemic wedding?
We did. Ashley, it was, I think it breaks my heart worse than it hurt Emily. We had this beautiful wedding planned. It was supposed to take part last summer in France, in Provence, and it was going to be amazing. I was so excited. And because of the pandemic, obviously, we decided to postpone that. We're supposed to do it again this past summer in July, same place, same crowd, everything. I was super stoked and ready and excited. But the pandemic didn't cooperate. And obviously, we're one couple in millions around the world that this has impacted. And that's certainly not lost on us. Her family's Brazilian. So the situation in Brazil wasn't conducive to her family being able to travel. I'm Canadian. I had a lot of friends back home that weren't able to leave the country and travel at the time. So we made the really difficult decision to cancel it. Emily and I had done a very small, intimate wedding, really, really small, here around where we live on the East Coast, just to have that moment, have our day. Because we had been looking so forward to it for a very, very long time, and we're anxious to kind of take the next step. I'm still hoping that next summer we can do something with our parents. It breaks my heart that my parents and her parents weren't there to see it happen. Ugh. And so I want to do something next summer where we can get at least our families together and just do something symbolic. It doesn't even have to be like a big to do, a big thing. But yeah, that was sort of, you know, I'm so happy we went ahead and did it anyways, but it's been a crazy year and a half, these last 2 years, trying to kind of navigate and orchestrate all that stuff, because it was emotional and it was tough.
Oh, I'm so sorry and sad for you.
Jess and I got engaged March of last year, and we've planned it out to where like November is our hope date to where we have a wedding. But you know, you never know what life's going to look like. And we've heard a ton of stories from people just navigating this. And that is the tough part. I think weddings and funerals are the two things that like just break your heart for anybody out there, especially when the parents can't be involved or you can't attend those moments that you really want to be at. But you got married, and that's a big deal. And so as we close up here with you, again, it's Jesse Palmer, the host of The Ultimate Surfer, a new show that ABC is kicking off that everybody should check out, even if you're not a surf fan. It has everything, as Jesse said at the beginning, that you want in reality television: the drama, the love, the competition, the personalities. How has married life been now? You're married. So for anybody out there listening, how are you holding up?
It's been great. I mean, we've been together about almost 5 years. So this was something that her and I had both been really, really looking forward to. I mean, this thing weighs a ton, by the way. I'm like dragging my knuckles on the ground. Like, no one told me. I fidget with this all the time.
Oh, Jared does not stop. He goes like this all day long. And then sometimes he'll drop it in the car. And I'm like, put that thing on your finger and keep it there.
You and Emily are exactly the same. Like last night at dinner, she's like, "Will you put the ring on your finger?" You know, you try to use the mad, like quiet voice, like in a crowded restaurant. Yeah. Put the ring on your finger and leave it on your finger. I've never worn jewelry in my life. Mm-hmm. Like I just wore watches. Like I've never had any rings. And this thing, I just cannot stop fidgeting. And I like fidgeting with it. And she's like, "You're going to drop it. You're going to drop it in a place and you're not going to be able to get it back." And so that is my daily struggle. That's the hardest part of marriage really for me right now, is just keeping this thing on my finger.
Everything else. I'm thinking about a little note here. And Jessica and I've had this conversation a few times. Today, I actually got sent the wedding ring that she designed for me. And I'm very excited that, but she did this, I think, in a passive aggressive way. because I told her, hon, I want to get a tattoo of my ring because I'm worried that I'm going to mess with it all the time and that I'm going to not like that. I'm going to lose it. And then it would break my heart. And she's like, that's a good idea. You should do that. But I'm also going to get you a ring. So I have a feeling at some point I'm going to get the, I want you to wear your ring thing, you know? So, but anyways, Jesse, thank you so much for joining us. It means a lot. Again, can you tell everybody where they can watch the Ultimate Surfer?
Yeah, absolutely. Ultimate Surfer. It's on ABC Mondays and Tuesdays immediately following Bachelor in Paradise.
Thanks, Jesse. You're awesome.
Guys, I really appreciate the time. Congrats to you both again and all the great news. You guys deserve everything good coming your way.
Thank you.
You so too, man. Bye. Hey, best of luck.
Ben, have I ever told you the story about Jared losing his wedding ring at the Blue Lagoon when we were only married for 3 months?
No, but I'd love to hear this.
It is the weirdest story ever. Wait, I want to see if Jared can come in here because he tells it way better than I do. Jared?
Jared!
Jared! One sec. Okay, so I was just telling Ben that, you know, you lost your wedding ring at the Blue Lagoon. So yeah. I wanted you to tell a story because I feel like you do a better job than me. But I'll start out by saying that when you get to the Blue Lagoon, they tell you to take off like any valuable jewelry, including your wedding rings, which sounds like they're just ready to steal it. But it's because the acids or whatever that are in the Blue Lagoon in Iceland, they tarnish real gold and silver. So Jared took off his wedding ring and didn't put it anywhere in a pocket in a backpack or in a pocket in pants. Literally just put it loosely in the locker.
Well, there's signs that obviously say take off wedding rings, jewelry, blah, 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 blah. So I'm, you know, she goes to her women's locker. I go to my men's locker. I'm taking everything off. So you strip down to your bathing suit. And then I put the robe on. And I was like, oh, I got to take my ring off. And so my locker was still open, so I took my ring off and I just put it in the locker.
Plopped it right there. I, of course, put my ring in a pocket, in a pocket in my backpack.
I'm patting you on the back for it right now. So fast forward a couple hours, we're in the Blue Lagoon. I go back to the locker, get changed, put everything back on. Mind you, this was only a few months after we got married. Yeah. 3 months. So I hadn't been wearing a ring. I've never worn a ring. So I'm not used to it yet. We get in the car, we pull off. Ashley goes, where's your wedding ring? I immediately stop the car. My stomach drops.
Wait, he jokes with me all the time, though. Like, he's such a joker, and he tries to fool me all the time. So I think he's going to, like, pull it out of his pocket or something.
Yeah, I was literally...
like, jokes on you, huh?
I was literally the boy who cried wolf in that moment because I was like, oh, shit. And then so I immediately stopped the car, put it in reverse, and she's like, you're joking. And I say, I am not joking. It's in the locker right now. So I go back into the area. They let me go back into the men's locker room, which was very nice of them because you have to pay before getting into the locker room. But I told them I lost my ring, blah, blah, blah. Go back in the locker room. The door is still open. So I'm thinking it's got to still be there. My locker is still open. No ring. I look on the floor. I look everywhere around there. No wedding band. I'm like, you got to be freaking kidding me. 3 months after my wedding, I lose my Neil Lane wedding band. So then I ask a couple people that work there. And then one guy was like, oh, you lost your wedding band who worked there? And I said, yeah. And I was like, I don't know if it's like on top. I can't find it anywhere. Nobody's reported it to lost and found. And he starts like walking to the lockers with me. In my mind, I'm like, what are we doing? It's not there. I already checked my locker in the surrounding area. And I told you this, but he's like, no, nobody reported anything. And I was like, I don't know where it could be, you know, and I'm telling him the story of when I took it off, where it went, to try to give him any idea of where this possibly could be. And he starts, because he has a key to all the lockers, so he opens the locker above mine. And in my head, I'm like, what is this guy doing? And then he opened it up and there was somebody's stuff in there, sneakers, pants, somebody else's stuff. And then right in the middle in the front was a wedding band. And he's like, is this yours? And I looked at it. I was like, can I reach in and grab it? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. I grab it and I look at the inscription and I know that it's my wedding band fits my finger. And I'm like, yeah, that's mine. And he's like, all right, cool. And then I was like, okay, bye. And then I walked out and I'm like, what the hell just happened? How did my wedding band get in the locker above mine? And how the hell did that guy know that it was in that locker? Unless it was a lucky guess and he was going to open up all the lockers in the surrounding area. And it just so happened that the first locker he opened up, the wedding band was in there.
And he just let you leave with it. Like, just you claimed it.
Yeah.
Like,
he opened up somebody else's locker. I could have been like, yep, these are my pants. These are my sneakers. I got to go. See ya. Bye.
Well, I guess the moral of the story is, Jared, you do care about your wedding band. Ashley cares a lot more about your wedding band. And then I should get a tattoo because tattoos don't wear off in the acidic water.
Oh, so you're going to get a tattoo on your finger, huh?
That's what I think I'm going with. But, Jared, thanks for joining us. Thanks for sharing this story. We appreciate it.
Hey, good luck with the tattoo. No problem, guys. Anytime. I'll be in the next room.
It's time for Bachelor Headlines. It's a big week. Obviously, our very first story is one that will blow your mind. Stay on the edge of your seats for this headline. E! News, Bachelor Nation's Ashley Iaconetti and Jared Hammond reveal sex of their first baby, as we talked about at the beginning. Ashley, we've already talked about you having a boy, but tell us all the emotions around it. Fill us in.
Well, it's I was very much hoping for a girl. And I just have to be honest there. I like told everyone. I told so much press. I was like, I hope it's a girl. But I'm getting very used to the idea of having a boy. And I just want him to be like a little Jared. I go, Jared, since we're having a boy, we need to make sure that we create him just like you, so that one day a girl out there who's as crazy as me can find her Prince Charming in our son. So I hope that, you know, we are able to raise him as wonderful as a gentleman as Jared's parents raised him. We do have a name picked out. I joked in our announcement that it wasn't going to be Tom or Brady. And I'll be honest, I think the name Brady is actually adorable, but, we already have a family dog named Brady. Jared's parents' dog is Brady after Tom Brady. So it would just be weird for us to name the son Brady as well. And I've had a name for a boy. I didn't have a name picked out for a girl, but I had a name picked out for a boy since I was like 20 years old. And Jared loved it so much as well. And we recently came up with a middle name that I think pairs so beautifully with it. So it's really nice to kind of be saying, you know, referring to him by his name. I'm like, Jared, put your hand on the belly and say hello to Beep, you know?
Yeah. When's the name going to get announced? When are you guys going to do that?
I might tease it and like have some fun with it, like a couple weeks leading up to the birth, but I don't plan on revealing it until he's here.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, big news, super, super happy for the two of you. Obviously, no matter what, we knew you're going to be happy.
Oh, and, yes. I mean, I love him already, of course.
Yeah. That's just super fun. I don't know. This is just a crazy cool ride that we've been on with you and through all this stuff. So also, you showed some pictures of the baby bump. It's out there. It's happening.
It's out there. It's happening. It fluctuates, though, guys. Sometimes I like post a picture when I'm pretty bloated and it's like, oh, my God, she's like really got a bump. And then sometimes like I'll wake up and nobody would ever know that there is a baby in there. So it fluctuates, and I think it'll start being more of a permanent thing in the next week or two.
Yeah. Wow. This is crazy. Just moves so fast. You have a baby inside of you.
So weird.
So wild. Well, other headlines outside of Ashley and Jared, and that's obviously a big headline in Bachelor Nation, but Katie Thurston hints at when she and Blake Moynes will tie the knot. This according to Us.
She says not soon at all. So, yeah, it says he's Canadian, so we have a lot to work through first. Very interesting.
Yeah, reading that as you will. Also, Blake Moynes, this was an interesting one for me. I kind of related with it a little bit. But he says he admits that Katie Thurston's great Grippo drama did take away from their love story. That one hits heavy.
I'm glad that he's being honest about it, though, because we were all wondering. He said, do I think that the whole Greg thing did take away from the love story? Unfortunately, yeah. It sucks that it was such a focal point for someone who didn't actually end up with her. Unfortunately, it just kind of is what it is for people who think it should have been Greg.
I don't know if anybody really felt like it should have been Greg, especially. I haven't found any of those people out there, but I do get that, you know, I like that he's honest, that it did take away a little bit. That's tough. You know, just to see that go down, it's a weird situation where you're engaged and you're happy, yet this is kind of weighing over you. And then you're seeing the headlines, and it just does. It's an awkward couple months. It does go away and people stop talking about it over time. But at the very beginning, I'm sure it's hard to consume. So, I mean, kudos to him for being honest, because it feels like an honest.
It's got to be so frustrating. You know, you end up engaged, and then you feel like you can't even celebrate it with the people who watched it.
Well, this one's odd. Thomas Jacobs, the big old tall guy that on Paradise, he said he wouldn't change a damn thing about his behavior. This, according to E, he said this to Brian and Mike on their podcast. And I find that interesting. Do you?
Sort of. Yeah. But I also still think that Thomas gets villainized for very few reasons, just for him saying that he had thoughts that maybe he could become The Bachelor. If this is really what we're still going off of, I don't know. So says this. It goes, you're not going to please everyone. One of the reasons why I think things went so sideways for me was because I was running around trying to make everyone as happy as possible at all times. And more often than not, if you're doing that, you're doing it to sacrifice yourself. He says, never leave your foundational principles of who you are. He just said that he's like was emotionally charged and he felt like he was like diving into a bowl in a china shop. Didn't work out. I get it.
I mean, I think from my like opinion, and obviously the reason this podcast exists is because we have opinions. I do think he got villainized for unnecessary reasons. I also think that he could have done some things differently, especially when he communicated to people and then some of the decisions he made to like kind of
mostly in Paradise, really, with the date with Serena, right? Yeah,
definitely. And on this week's episode, obviously, like Aaron and him don't get along, and then he makes out with Tammy, which like he could have said, hey, can we go somewhere else and do this? Or like, I mean, it's hard to say given the moment, right? He could have been really into it, but it does feel like he's going after like the people that are mostly hurt by him the most. But it's also good television and it's fun to watch, I guess. Well, this is the big headline, and we read into it as much as you want, but Chris Harrison, remember that guy? He says he's not ready to retire after Bachelor exit, isn't holding any grudges. This according to Us.
So this is from a source at Us Weekly. Says Chris Harrison is truly doing great. He's really enjoying this time with his kids and growing his relationship with Lauren Zima. He lives a low-key life in Texas when he's not taking trips or going on vacation. He's soaking in these moments of not working and taking time for himself and his family. He celebrated his 50th birthday last month and recently celebrated his third anniversary with Lauren. He sees at this time almost a new chapter in his life and is figuring out what's going to be his next best move. He says he still keeps in touch with some crew and former Bachelor and, the cast. And then he says the insider explains that everyone who was close to him on the show really misses him and wishes he was still part of the show. He reads messages from fans and posts on social media all the time. He says he is not the host anymore, but he still loves Bachelor Nation, doesn't hold any grudges, which is very sweet. He says, especially with the fans.
Yeah. Well, always giving you updates on Chris and where he's at in life, but also Lance Bass and I have something in common. Made it very open that my dream job would be to host the Bachelor Over 50 show, or 60, I don't know which one it is, but the senior show. And Lance Bass is coming out very publicly and saying it would be a dream job for him to host Bachelor in Paradise. This according to ET.
So he says that they've not asked him to be the permanent host. And of course, that's going to depend on Bachelor Nation out there. But he says, I'm part of Bachelor Nation, so I understand how volatile we can get. We're very opinionated. If they like me, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, yes, of course, it would be a dream come true to be able to host a show like that. That was God being very nice to me because I'm a huge fan, especially of Bachelor in Paradise. I like all the Bachelor shows. But Bachelor in Paradise is just my summer indulgence. I love it so much. So when they asked me to be a host, I flipped.
I'm like, I'm going to walk into paradise. He says that coming off of, you know, Chris Harrison's footsteps. He says those are tough shoes to fill for sure. I love me some Chris Harrison. But I need to put my little two cents in here now, because I mean, you know, I miss Chris. But if Chris isn't really not coming back, which we really know he's not, and we really have to talk about a future host, I mean, I really, really liked Lance's performance this week as host. And it was only two episodes, and I felt like it could have totally been more, wanted more. There was only a few scenes from him, but what we saw, I thought he really shined. He was just very warm and comforting to, and he was really warm and comforting to the contestants. And I felt like he was just very conversational. Like, he was the kind of guy that you could like sit down and just chat with, as we saw with him with Natasha this week. And very natural. I don't know. I really felt it. Yes, I do think he'd be more appropriate for Paradise than, say, maybe the main show. But I'm also totally down to see Lance try to host the main show. What are your thoughts on this? Am I being biased as a huge NSYNC fan and like and personally knowing Lance?
Of course you're biased. I mean, I think he did awesome, but I don't think he could have disappointed you, because like, he was going to be Lance and you knew what he was going to bring to the table when he came in. He was a little funny, but he was caring. We've been around him. He cares deeply for the people around him. He's just, I mean, I remember we were with him in Vegas and we spent a good hour at the Planet Hollywood just chatting with him, and he was incredible. So you're biased because you like him, but you like him for a good reason. And I think it does fit, and I think it makes sense. So we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of changes happening. We still don't have a new host announced. We don't have a Bachelor announced. We don't have a Paradise host announced. And obviously Bachelorette is being filmed right now with Caitlin and Tayshia, but we don't know where that goes. Are they in it for the long haul? Are they going to be switching it up? There's just so many things still yet to be seen with this franchise. So we're holding on to the edge of our seats. We'll be here the whole time at Almost Famous talking about it. Well, final headline of the week. The Bachelor's Rachel Kirkconnell is in a good place with Matt James. Her quote is, "It was a journey." This is according to People.
Yeah. After that, she says, "I think we're in a really good place. I think we've had a lot of love come our way. But I like to think that even though people have been super, super nice, we just want to focus on each other and put all that aside and let the noise stay a little bit more quiet these days. It's been good, though. We've been good. Just needed time is really what they've been kind of saying, the two of them. And it's nice for them to be doing their own thing and spending a lot of time together."
Yeah, it's good to see them together. And, you know, I personally, as a fan, would just like to see and hear kind of how they navigated through that. Because I think so many people out there are trying to navigate through those really difficult circumstances and relationships and friendships and family dynamics, or just people they run into. And so they obviously have worked through a lot based on when we last saw them, which is, you know, talk about it, which is really on the after show. And now, you know, they're spending a ton of time together and enjoying each other's company. So it'd be great to hear that.
Don't think they're ever going to like come on a reunion show, you know, but I am curious as well. I would like to see it, but it probably won't happen.
No, it won't. Maybe it can happen here on the Almost Famous podcast. We'll see. We'll give it a shot. Well, that's all the headlines we have for today. Ashley, thank you for breaking them down. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to break down this week's episode of Bachelor in Paradise. It is a good one. We're going to break down this week's episode of Bachelor in Paradise, our tremendous brand new host. Again, we have a crazy good team here. Emma just wrote out the most detailed notes for us to run through. Ashley has a lot of thoughts along with these notes. So, Ashley, let's get it started. Now, we begin this episode with kind of running off of the Joe and Serena reconnection. Obviously, Riley and Marissa are still canoodling. Connor is waking up, not knowing where Marissa is or when he came home. There's relationships forming. Ashley, what do you think? How are you feeling as you begin and dive into this week's episode?
I feel like you're probably most concerned for Connor at the beginning of the episode. You're like, wow, he's going to have to find out that the girl he really likes went to the boom boom room the night before.
But like also, it's just so obvious that Marissa and Riley make more so much more sense than Marissa and Connor that like I actually don't even feel as bad as I should.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, okay. It's like, no, I'm sorry, dude. But like if you saw it, it's evident.
There's just like their chemistry is tangible. Like you,
yeah.
Like, you know, there's a headline this week where Marissa got a lot of hate for her time with Riley in the Boom Boom Room after their date. Now, we don't really know what happened in there, and nor is it really any of our business. But I think just to take that into consideration, like the reason they're in that room is because like they were both very into each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Like it was very clear.
Yes. And then the other big moment early on the episode is that we have Chasen and a guy named Chris, who like nobody knows as a viewing audience, but apparently in Bachelor Paradise community, Chris was well known, really good friends with some of the guys, including Chasen, which is why they went down together. And he was number one, sort of, on Jasenia's list to be there. She said that she wanted Chris to be there and Ivan to be there. And even though we feel like Jasenia and Ivan were going so strong that she wouldn't even have said yes to a date, oh, she did. And she didn't have any hesitance.
I would say this, that was a relationship I was feeling more hurt over than obviously Connor. Like I felt for Ivan because I did think they had something good going.
Same.
This was a shocker. Chris walks down the stairs and like, I don't know this Chris guy, but it's like, yeah, he doesn't stand a chance against Ivan. Like Ivan has always been like a very good communicator, very good looking guy, cared deeply. And so like, I honestly was more shocked at like what happened there with Jasenia. And I want to know the backstory to like how she even knew this Chris guy existed.
I know, me too. Are we horrible for not remembering him from Claire/Tayshia season?
I'm probably not very good at our jobs, but I don't think we're like the anomaly here.
No, I think that we're like speaking, the audience was relating to us right now. I don't even know that he made it to the Tayshia part of the season.
Yeah, it's he came out of nowhere. And maybe he's like changed his look. That could have been. I'm wondering if like maybe he had a different look during that season, but I think he also mentioned he was like there for night one.
He was just there for night one or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
no.
So. I don't know, actually.
I don't think so. I only say that because it seems like he got so close to a couple of those guys. Regardless of wherever he stood during that season, he's there and he's making a splash in paradise because Jasenia is into him. So Chasen takes Deandra on the date and Deandra is currently with Carl, right? But like, they're not like a strong couple. Like they were friendly, flirty, maybe kissed a few times enough for him to give her the rose last week. But like, nobody is like, oh, what a great love story that Carl and Deandra are. Anyway, so it's a double date. They do this tantric thing, which we've seen so many times in the show, where it's like basically like a sensual experience where like there's not a lot of touching, but there's like a lot of, well, I guess there's some touching, but like they're blowing on each other. They're touching without it becoming super sexual, I guess. It feels a little sexual, but Chasen and Deandra, like, she says she feels really comfortable with him. I think they like each other, but I also don't think that there's like some mind-blowing connection there. But then with Jasenia, she gets like super honest and she tells Chris that he was the main person that she wanted to see in paradise. And she says that she and Ivan have had a really good thing going on, but something's been missing. And that missing thing she feels with Chris. So right then you're like, oh crap. I can't believe that Ivan and Jasenia might be over.
I wonder if Chris, I'm going to look up to see when Chris exactly said goodbye.
Okay.
His season. Cause I feel like there was one guy there that I really liked. And I wonder if it was him and he just doesn't have his hair slicked down anymore. I don't know. Anyways. The date, I feel like those dates set you up to have a connection. Am I like, you know what I'm saying? Like when you're like two beautiful humans, like on a beach, you've obviously said yes to a date. So there's some type of attraction. And then you're like rolling on each other, blowing on each other, tickling each other. And like it feels like it's going to set you up to have a connection more than it doesn't.
Yes and no. Like if you don't like it, if it's happening to you and you're like not feeling it, then you're like, okay, I know this is not going to work for this person. Or it can go the extreme other opposite way.
Wow.
Okay. Right? I mean, I feel like you have to have some sort of physical chemistry with that person to enjoy the date at all.
That, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I could, yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, I'd be so grossed out if like I realized that there was like nothing there and he was blowing his breath on me. I'm like, yeah,
that'd be tough. No, so Chris was eliminated week one of Claire's season. So
no,
he was out.
No way.
Yeah, he wasn't even around. So there's,
so then how did she feel like she... How could she put him on a list? She didn't know anything about him. I guess she just thought he was cute.
Yeah. I mean, they. What do they do? So tell us this. When you go on Paradise, do they send you a list of potential cast members?
No, they basically say, like, who from other seasons would you be into?
Interesting. Yeah, how in the world would you have found that guy? I mean, geez. This is what we get paid for. I don't even know he existed. Well, anyways, they go on their date. They come back.
They kiss with the strawberry in between their mouth.
Yeah, she said it was the best strawberry she's ever had. So there's obviously something there. Maybe the strawberry is better than the kiss, or maybe the kiss added to the strawberry. Well, there's a weird moment here that I want to highlight where they all come back to the beach and Carl takes Deandra away and Chasen like follows, which is a very odd move.
So weird. Especially,
yeah, it's weird for me to watch in Paradise. It's
in
like
Paradise, yeah.
One thing I'm getting over as a fan who's never been down there is like, hey, people date other people and they like all kind of walk off and start talking. They have stuff to work through and to like navigate that they need some alone time for. And so, yeah, does Carl like drive half the people crazy? Yes. Did he have something going with her? Definitely. And so like give him his space to like talk it out. And Chasen just like stands over him in this way that just really like irked me.
Yeah, it annoyed me too, just because it's like, okay, dude, this is Paradise. It's not The Bachelorette where you need to fight for time and you only get 10 to 15 minutes of alone time like every 5 days. This is Paradise where you are literally living together. You will find time to chat with her. You do not have to interrupt and don't have to feel, I mean, I guess you can say he was feeling threatened and that he didn't want them to have alone time because like he was worried that they would like rekindle something during that alone time. But I just felt like it was inappropriate for Paradise when you have pretty much all the time in the world.
Yeah, it felt weird. It felt hard to watch and it just felt like he didn't need to be doing that. Well, I want to fast forward. I want to make a note here. One thing that happened with this episode that I was a little frustrated with was I felt like we really highlighted a few couples and we didn't talk about a lot of the people there. Meaning
there were some people that literally had no camera time.
Yeah. Noah and Abigail, like where are they at in this? And they're kind of like the ones just having their relationship off to the side. We obviously totally missed them. We didn't get a ton of time with Joe. I mean, we got enough to know where they're at. Our favorite Taj is like on, like she's just like off the camera for most of the episode. We have no clue she has a connection at all,
except for at the end where she was amazing.
Oh, she always is. She's just hilarious. She says what's on her mind, but I want to know, like, I want to see her fall. And like, we don't know where her and Trey stand.
Probably not that great.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be. Well, and really the heart, so let's note that I was upset that we didn't get to see some of those people, but the heart of the episode really starts when Mara pulls Kenny aside and tells him that they have something good, but also that she's kind of like, I mean, I took it as she was saying, hey, I want to date other people, which again, I've now gotten to this point from talking to you and talking to other guests that like that's acceptable still right now in Paradise. But if she dates other people, I felt like he could be able to date other people. What did you think about this?
There is a lot. I of course was thinking about what am I going to say in the podcast about this when I was watching it, because I think I sort of understood what Mari meant, but it wasn't communicated in the best way. And I definitely knew that Kenny did not comprehend it the way that she hoped that he would. She said, I want to be able to say yes to going on dates with other people. So I think what she was trying to say was there's no one here right now that has my interest. But if somebody comes down, and possibly they do, I want to go on the date to see if like what I have with you is as good as I think it is. So fundamentally, when you break it down, I feel like she was saying, I need to sort of test this relationship to see like if I missed you, which I don't know that that's a good sign. Okay. I would say that like if you have any desire to test it, you can't be totally certain in it. You can be both ways. Like so many people are here and like they just want to date around and like that's what they feel like they're there to do. But I'm like a serial monogamist in my head. And once I find like the object of my affection, it's just like no going back. Right. Like I'm just going to be super loyal to that person. But I don't think that Kenny is in the wrong at all for thinking that what she meant was that, you know, we see other people. Because that's kind of what it sounded like. And I think, again, fundamentally, it's kind of what she was saying.
Yeah, you know, and the Demi Kenny situation, it makes a lot of sense. Like, they're very similar. I think they could have a lot of fun together. Mm-hmm. Demi was obviously very into him. It, you know, Mari confides in Demi, and then Demi's like, well, cool. If you guys are dating other people, I'm going to go out to Kenny. And that's just who Demi is. I feel like you knew that going in. It's not like she's untrustworthy, but she's just like, okay, well, what you're telling me and what Kenny's understanding also is that you're wanting to date other people. So I'm going to go after Kenny because I'm attracted to him, which causes this love triangle to exist and a lot of confusion, because I think this is where it becomes clear to me. Mari talks to Kenny. Kenny leaves that conversation going, hey, we can date other people, or we should be dating other people, even though he's like, hey, I don't really want to, but if you're saying this, then okay. And then Mari talks to Demi. Demi leaves that conversation with Mari going, you want to date other people? Okay, I'm going to go date Kenny. So like, yeah. I think Mari was not communicating clearly. Or here's the other thing. What if just possibly she doesn't want to admit that this all backfired, because so once she saw Kenny with Demi, she goes, yeah, I don't want to be dating other people. And now I don't know how to take it back.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's kind of how it went. I think she should have thought that through, the whole thing through, a little bit more. I think she was acting in the moment because she was like, oh, people are going on dates. Dates seem fun.
Yeah.
You know? And then she throws the cake in the fire. And then I have to say that during that cake and the powwow, that like fire bonfire situation where Demi brings him up for the 40th birthday celebration, I kind of was getting the sense from Kenny that he was kind of missing Mari. Mm. Did you pick up on that?
I mean, yeah, because he said like they were doing that question and answer time, and he, you know, who would you rather be with? And he's like, Mari. And so, yeah, I mean, I think he's very into her. He was into her from the very beginning. And then Demi brings down the cake. And I think he's just like, I think he's confused. I think he feels pulled in two directions with two women that he's both like into, but one of them sending him mixed signals.
Yeah. I think that with Demi, he like actually, it's like a physical thing. And then I think with Mari, like there might be a little bit more depth to the relationship. We will see how this goes on. But it's definitely in a sticky spot now.
Then we obviously go back to the Connor and Marissa date or relationship, and Connor asked Marissa on a date. She kind of like doesn't really say yes, doesn't really say no. It's very clear that she's not into him anymore.
She pretty much says no with like all of her body language.
Yeah, like she doesn't. And then Juan like says, hey, Connor, like they slept together last night. And he, at that point, like, I hope Connor moves on. But even Noah says it, like it feels like Connor doesn't even exist right now. Like he's just not even himself. He's super hurt, even though I feel like Connor is still like somebody out there that could find somebody in paradise. I mean, he's not a lost cause yet.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. But like, then again, who are the single women there currently that would give him a rose?
Yeah, well, anybody. He seems friendly. Yeah, if anything.
Maybe Mari. Maybe like somebody, like it'll be a friendship rose.
Yeah. Well, one of the couples I want to talk to you about is one that I know that you care deeply about, Natasha and Brendan. Natasha's trying really hard, and she's definitely putting herself out there. She's done it multiple times now. I want to hear your thoughts about their kiss. And to see if you felt anything in that moment that changed your mind that maybe Natasha should be also looking elsewhere.
Well, the fact that they're like into the whole week, like they've probably been there for like close to 7 days now. And okay, maybe not even close to 7 days. Maybe like they're on their like fifth day. And they haven't kissed yet, but like they're coupled off is a little bit strange. I don't really have a change in stance since last episode. Like, I really just think that he's like trying not to kiss her because he doesn't want to lead her on because he knows that he's going for Piper when Piper comes down the stairs. But they do end up kissing, and it wasn't like even like a passionate makeout. It was not really even a makeout. It was just like a couple kisses, but it definitely satisfied Natasha. You know, she's like, okay, we're just gonna move slow, and I'm glad that he made the move, and I'm like kind of glad he made the move. I don't know, knowing what's to come, and I actually don't know what's to come, but I just, my sensors are going off. Maybe I'm not happy that he kissed her because maybe she is being led on. I don't know. But I just love Natasha. She just deserves the world.
Yeah. It just didn't do much for me. It felt like he knew he had to.
Yes.
You know, like,
I put this off long enough.
Yeah, I put this off long enough. If I don't do it now, like, she's going to know. And so he, like, it was like a peck. Like, it was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, this girl's so into you. She's beautiful. You've been, like, hanging out with her every day, like, give her a good old smooch, like, let her know you're into her. And he kind of pecks her, and it feels like there's nothing there for me watching. And I wasn't obviously there in the moment, but I'm upset with that situation because I do hope Natasha comes out of this like just feeling like not like just like she was like desired, and I don't know if right now she feels that way. Yeah, she's definitely putting herself out there. And definitely trying really hard. Well, we go from there to the Serena and Joe date.
Yay!
Something to celebrate, something to hold on to. Now there is something there. Actually, take it away.
Oh my God, this was such a cute date. Now I do feel like they're really starting just to get to know each other because some of the questions that they asked each other on the date, I was like, oh man, how have they not covered this already in casual conversation, just lying around paradise? But I do feel something with them. I especially feel it coming from Joe, like the way that he smiles and looks at her. It's just, he's feeling it and it's really adorable and I'm happy for them.
I think there's, still some turmoil to come. I do think,
because we know Kendall's coming.
Yeah, we know Kendall's coming, and I don't know how he's going to handle that. He did say, hey, it's going to be tough because, like, there's no romantic connection there, but it'll be good to see her. I have a feeling, like, no matter what, like, that's not just ever ideal. And it's got to bring, like we said weeks ago, like, you're going to remember the good times, and you're going to remember the memories that were there. But if Serena's – the one thing about Serena that I've picked up on so far is that, like, her emotional intelligence feels so high, and I think – she'd be the type of person that even if Joe is struggling with that, like, she would sit beside him and be like, hey, I'm here. And like, I know this sucks. I know it's hard to watch, but like, I'm still here beside you. Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to like go off on a date together? Do you want to walk the beach together? Like, I think she would understand because she just feels like she has that maturity that would get it and be a great partner for him through this.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think one thing that she's going to find concerning is the fact that Joe and Kendall truly seem to have only broken up because of location, you know? Yeah. So I think, like, if that's the only reason, you're like, oh my gosh, how can you not still have feelings for this person?
Yeah, but I also wonder, like, if Joe's respecting that relationship on camera with Kendall, like, saying that to Serena, and then, like, at some point he'll find time to be like, hey, there's more to it, and I'll tell you later, but, like, There had to be a little more to that. You don't just break up because you can't decide where you're going to live.
Yeah, I know. I do feel like the love has to be stronger than the location. Like, you have to love somebody more than you love the city that you live in.
Definitely. So I'm sure he'll hopefully get some time to talk to her about that maybe. And he's respecting Kendall by not saying much right now. That's what I picked up on. And I'm okay with that. I get that. That stuff's messy. Ashley, let's talk about Tammy for a second.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That was fiery.
Tammy tells Aaron at the beginning of the day that, you know, her connection with Aaron is the strongest out there. Thomas shows up, asks her to go to the side and kind of mentions, hey, you want to kiss her if she wasn't with Aaron. And Tammy takes, you know, takes charge and kisses him, which, I mean, Aaron's got to be stewing. We've seen his, I don't know what the anger or his just like his heatedness come up.
He's just a stewer all the time.
Yeah. And now he's got to be just fuming because his kryptonite is also kissing the girl that he feels like he has a strongest relationship with. I feel like this is a storyline that we've got to follow coming into like the rose ceremony that was, you know, not done during this episode, but I think it's going to be interesting.
This is going to be so interesting. This is like sort of like a villain's got a vill type moment, as JJ yeah. would say. I kind of love the villainousness of this scene just because I wasn't part of it. And I was just an observer. And like, Thomas is telling Tammy that she's a villain. And he's like, we're bonding because we were both villains on our season. And then to see her just straddle him, I was just like, this is great TV for us. I am so sorry for what is going through Aaron's heart right now. But I mean, it was entertaining.
It is. I mean, that's why we watch the show. Like, and that's kind of what they signed up for. So, yes, it's entertaining, but I do think it's going to be really, really hard to watch at times. Tammy's getting some attention, and Aaron's going to have to figure out how to deal with it.
The other thing that happened that night was that that Jesenia pretty much ended it with Ivan by saying he checked the boxes, but she felt the spark with Chris, and then she said, you can't really create a spark if it's not there. So that was sad.
That's a big deal. And then also, you know, Mari pretty much ends it, or Kenny pretty much ends it with Mari. And then Mari comes back at him. And it's more confusing than ever. Like, I just don't understand what's going on there. But relationships ending, new relationships blossoming. There's been a lot of changes so far in Paradise. A few have stayed steady. We still have Abigail and Noah. We have Joe and Serena. Who else do we have that's like, very solid?
Those are two solid, but I would even say that Riley and Marissa are like third now in that row.
Huh? Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't see them ending anytime soon. Uh-huh. Well, we'll be back tomorrow with another breakdown of Bachelor in Paradise. It's a crazy, crazy good episode today, but it kind of just leads us into, I think, tomorrow's episode. I feel like there's still a lot of questions not answered, and tomorrow we're going to get those questions, and I'm sure there's going to be more questions coming from that episode.
Yeah, and big news with this episode is Becca and Tia both show up, and we see Kenny and Tia kiss.
Oh, my goodness. What a freaking dream. Well,
oh, my God, and Kendall. She shows up, too.
This is going to be big. A lot happening. A lot to talk about. We're going to be back breaking it down with you, we're excited to do it. Well, hey, everybody. It's been a great episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Jesse Palmer for joining us, coming on and talking about the Ultimate Surfer. Also, tomorrow, we're going to have Connor Brennan on talking about Bachelor in Paradise, his time there, everything good in the world. Make sure you tune in for that. It's going to be its own special episode. It's going to be a big deal. I think it's going to get us really excited for tomorrow night's episode of mm-hmm. Bachelor in Paradise.
And well, we will be recapping that episode with Emily and Amanda. We'll see you guys then.
Yeah, well, hey, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Toodaloo.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.